The title of my message is Another Opportunity, and a subtitle I have is Prepare to Meet God. That's kind of the theme behind this title of Another Opportunity. I know you, I suppose numerous of you receive emails or maybe magazines or something, just to give you an example of my emails that I sometimes get, they have just recently, I forget if it was President's Day or one of the holidays that happened to come through, and there was this company, I forget which one it was, maybe Lenovo, a computer company of some kind, sent me an email, and they offered, you know, that there's these sales, they're having these big sales, and so forth. You know, I wasn't interested. I didn't need anything. I just hit shift delete to get it out of there, you know, whatever. And I think it was a day or so later. It was like for only a weekend or so, and a day or so later, the very last day of the sale, they sent me another email and they said, countdown has begun, or something down that line. Numerous types of emails I get, and I get them sometimes mixed up, but the idea, my time is very limited. You've got a little window of opportunity if you want to get this sale. You've got just this much time. At midnight tonight, it's closing. The door's closed. You're not going to get any more. Well, I didn't need it. I just shift delete again. I just left it go by. I just put it away. But I wonder how many times are we doing that to God? God is opening the door to us. But our relationship with God also, but also for the younger ones, those that haven't made that choice to follow the Lord, this is another day. This is another opportunity. The sun is shining. It's a pretty day. It's a lovely day. But we don't know. Is it the last? We don't know. Is it the last? Is it our last? Almost three years ago, we didn't know on February 23, we were gathered together, just like we are this morning here. We heard a message, and two young men, the Mass boys, they heard a message. The next morning, around the same time, they were no longer alive. They were gone. They had a window of opportunity, and I believe that they responded to the best of their knowledge, to the best of their ability. But we have today, we have an opportunity. That's what I want to lift up to us today. We have an opportunity. What are we doing with it? Are we preparing to meet God? Are we doing that? We have another opportunity today. Are we just throwing that into the trash can? That opportunity. Are we throwing that opportunity aside, just like I did with the email? I didn't need it. Is that our feeling towards God? I don't need God. Like Sherwin was sharing, those things in our life that are causing us to go after that and deny the Lord. I have a number of verses I'd like to read kind of as an introduction, and then we'll get into the message from that then. So if you would follow along with me here in Hebrews chapter 3. I was trying to think what illustration I could bring along, and I know I don't like to just bring illustrations along just to entertain, but I'd like for you to connect, and that's why I shared the thing as far as with the email thing. There's numerous things in life that we only have a little window of opportunity, but I wasn't quite sure what object lesson I could bring for you, but I do want to, I have a passion to, and I desire to, connect with you and have you connect with the Word of God. I want you to do that. I don't want to just simply have you here and you be spaced out and you're not connected and you're not getting it. I don't like to see that. And I would just encourage you, engage in, try to get what the Lord is trying to speak to us, to all of us. It's a reminder, I think, for us that have already committed our life to the Lord, we can let these things slip. There's verses that talk about us losing out. There's talking, Sherwin quoted the verse about the love of many waxing cold. We can lose our opportunity also. Just because we have responded in the first place does not mean that that we're at the end and that we can just lay our guard down. So Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 7. We're going to read down to verse 15. 7 to 15 there. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, starting there. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my mighty works, my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And so in other words, that opportunity, it slipped by for them. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Again, he has that word today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Today, we have an opportunity. Today, we get the chance. Just like that email, it said, the countdown has started. The countdown has begun. Today, we have this day, this moment. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? We don't have promise of tomorrow. Like Jesus says, we don't know when he comes, and he's going to come as a thief to those that are not ready. He's going to come like that. And but today we're exhorted, do something about it now. You know, I remember as a young boy, I was struggling with the whole thing of the awareness of realizing I don't have peace with God. I'm not right with God. I remember that. And and then, you know, maybe something would happen. But then I would just grimace, just kind of cringe underneath that and endure it. And shove it off. I want to, but not now. I'll just push it off, and not now. And time would go on, and another year would pass. Not now. Not now. I thank God for his mercy on me. If God would have done what he justly could have done, he could have snatched out my life, and I would have not had any chance to repent. I had probably, I would say there was a window of give and take a little bit, at least 2 years, maybe almost 3 years, where I just shoved God out. I just shoved God out. 3 years. Here he says, today, don't harden your hearts. God is a merciful God. God is a wonderful God. He is a loving God, and he gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And that also can make us think sometimes, oh well, I'm going to push it off this weekend. I don't really like to face it, because I'd like to have a little bit more fun. I'd like to have a little bit more enjoyment. I'd like to enjoy this world a little bit more. I'd like to, maybe after I have a little bit more fun, maybe then I'll respond. But we don't know. That opportunity may no longer be there. That opportunity may no longer be there if that's what happens. If we do that. And I'll just quickly read a verse in, two verses in Hebrews 4. Actually, if you just turn the page there, go ahead and do that. Hebrews 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein." This is talking about the rest of, if I understand right, just having peace with God, entering into relationship with God and experiencing that rest in our life today. "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." And he's saying that take that opportunity today to enter into that rest. Also in 1 and 2 Corinthians 6:2, it talks about there being the accepted time, that today is the accepted time of salvation. Turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 14. I think it'd be good to read a bit of that day of provocation. If you read that word, that scripture, or it talks about that provocation, it talks about the day when God's anger was kindled against the children of Israel because he brought them up, he brought them through the wilderness there and brought them all the way through life, so to speak, to that Jordan River, where they were just ready to cross over into the promised land, into what God was wanting to, for his people. He was wanting to bless them in that. He brought them right to that place. And how they provoked God to anger, and provoked him with, when they did not believe, and they left that opportunity slip by. God gave them another, God already before that had given them numerous chances or numerous opportunities to believe in him. There was the water where they turned it against Moses and the leaders there, when the water was bitter there at Meribah, I believe it was. And also they were without water, first of all, and Moses one time, I forget if that happened before or after where the rock was that he struck. I think that was maybe after when Moses got angry with them as well. But here they had come to the Jordan River. This was the first time they had come to the Jordan River in Numbers chapter 14, and they did not believe. They didn't do. They were like, we don't need that. Well, they were scared also, but it was because of unbelief that they entered not in. Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 through 11. I'm not going to read the whole passage there, but it's the setting when the children of Israel, or Moses had sent the 12 spies out. They had come back with their report, and they cried and wept all night. In the first verse there, it talks about that because of the report that came. Because they thought this was the promised land. They thought this is going to be what they're going to experience, heaven on earth, so to speak. And here it sounds like they're going to have a lot of trials because of all these evil men that they're going to have to drive out of the land. But Joshua and Caleb, these men, young men of God, they wanted to seize that opportunity. They wanted to get a hold of that. And this morning, I trust that's our heart. God help us to have that heart, that passion. And that's not just for the men. It's for you sisters as well. God wants us to experience that, what Caleb and Joshua experienced there, that faith. And even though they didn't experience it that day, God promised them they would be able to see it. They would be able to go there. And even though you might not experience it today, right here, right now, if you put your faith in God, you will experience it just like they did. Just like they did. You will. Another opportunity. Verse 6 there, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, if I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, which were with them, I'm sorry, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. In other words, they were very grieved about the congregation's response. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will ye provoke me? This is this provocation that it's talking about in Hebrews. How long will ye provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and a mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. Anyway, I think I'll stop with that. But here the children of Israel provoked God, and God said they are not going to enter into his rest, into that rest, into that promised land. Because of that, they had an opportunity. This morning, we can do the same. We can provoke God to the place that God says, you're not going to experience that. The promises that I have for my children, you're not going to experience that because of unbelief, because you don't put your faith in me, because you don't believe me, even in the face of the giants, even in the face of the difficult things that we face. So that was the introduction to my message. We have another opportunity. God is a God of grace. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of love. And he gives us another day. He gave us another day here in 2023. He gave us another opportunity. Another opportunity to prepare, to make things right. Maybe we need to make things right with our brother, our sister. Maybe we need to make things right with God. Maybe there's not peace there. Today, you've got another opportunity. You've got another opportunity. It's another one. It's another opportunity for you to find peace with God. You get that? You understand that? It's so easy for us to just say, I don't need it. I'm all right. I'm not so bad. Let's just shift, delete it. Let's just whatever. And that works. It works sometimes. But in the end, it will not work. In the end, we'll have missed that opportunity. I think of those 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Remember that story? 5 of them were wise. They took that opportunity to prepare. 5 did not. They didn't do what they should have done to prepare. Okay, I do have a little bit of an outline just to help you follow along a little bit. So we have an opportunity. We have another opportunity. And the first point I'd like to make is, how can we seize that opportunity? Excuse my writing here. Kind of get a little bit of the idea here. How can we seize that opportunity? What can we do? I'd like to look at that here a little bit this morning. What are some things? We have another opportunity. We have another chance. Maybe we wished we could have we could have gotten that good deal on that computer. Maybe we wish we could have gotten that good deal on that house. There was an auction just recently here locally. Maybe we wish. Oh, and then we hear, sure enough, today they put it back on the auction. No, they didn't actually. I don't know that they put that thing back on the on an auction. But if we would, we wished for that thing. Now, if we would get the news, today they put that thing back on sale again. I get another chance, and we badly wished for it. What can we do? How can we seize that opportunity? That's how it is with God today. God, again, has given us breath. God, again, has given us a chance. And not just a chance. He's provided a way for us. He's done all those things for us. But we need to take it. We need to take a hold of it. We need to seize it. And some of those, and seizing is to grab. You children, you catch, you understand it? When you do a tug of war, you grab a hold of that rope. You seize, you grab that rope. You seize that opportunity. One of those things, how we can do that is repent. The Bible talks about repentance. Repenting of our sins. Repenting of things that we have done wrong. Turning away from those things. Stop doing what you know is wrong. Stop doing that. Are you with me? I don't want you to space out. I don't want to lose you. I want us to get this opportunity. I want us to connect with God today. The first thing I think we can do is repent. The first thing we can do is say, I'm sorry. God, I need help. I need your help. Repenting of our sins. I think of that in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 40. Peter was there with the rest of the apostles and the people in the community had seen that there's something strange going on, and they had seen the disciples coming. I don't know if they were coming out of this upper room or what was happening, but they saw that something strange was going on. They weren't sure if it was God or what, and they even some of them thought that they must have been drunk with new wine and whatever. And so Peter then, full of the Holy Ghost, got up, and he was like, this needs some explanation. We need to explain what God is doing. And God got a hold of him. God got a hold of Peter. And he preached the gospel to them. He preached to them that this is Jesus. This Jesus that you crucified is the one. He's the Messiah. He's the one that you are looking for. This is the opportunity that you have. Don't let it slip. This is putting it in my own words. And they were pricked to their heart. When they recognized, they realized that they had what they had done to God, and yet God was giving them another chance. God was giving them another chance, and Peter responds, and he says, "When they said, how can we have this opportunity? How can we get a hold of this?" They said, "What must we do to be saved?" They were pricked to their heart. What must we do to be saved? And Peter responded that they should repent. Repent, just simply. It was a very simple thing. And repentance is stopping what you're doing and changing, turning around, repenting of our sins. The second thing that we can do is when we turn away from sin, we also need to have faith in God. And maybe these are intertwined together. I'm not sure. I don't have all the points. These are just some points that came to me as I was studying. How can we don't want to let this opportunity slip. What can we do? One thing is repent. God convicts us. You know what? The way I responded, what I said wasn't nice. It wasn't kind. What should you do? Go and make that thing right away. That's repentance. Go and stop doing and go and make restitution. And then when you've done that, turn your faith towards God. the one that can help you, the one that can help you to live for him. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus says, have faith in God. He says those very words, have faith in God. In Hebrews 11, 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Repent of your sins and have faith in God. Another one is another thing that we can do to seize the opportunity is to turn our heart towards God. And turn our heart towards God. These are things that we can do to seize the opportunity, to get a hold of the opportunity, to have that opportunity be fulfilled in our life. And I'd like for you to turn to Amos, the book of Amos, just to maybe connect a little bit with the heart of God. I think it's Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, that's where you find that. So Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, verse 4 through 6. Says, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. And that seek, I think, is that turning towards God there. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely come into go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Verse 6, seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Also down in verse 6, I didn't actually have this in my notes, but it talks about seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. It's a call for us to seek after God. And you and I, we have a responsibility. Maybe we don't even sense an urge. You children, you younger ones, maybe you don't sense an urge maybe I know people ask these questions someday. Have you heard the call of God? Maybe you feel like you're not being called. Maybe you feel like God isn't calling you. I want to tell you this morning, God is calling every one of us. God is calling every one of us. Sometimes we don't hear it. But I'm telling you this much, if you seek after God, turn your heart towards God, I missed the most important part, God there. If you do that, you will start hearing. You will start hearing from God. You will start hearing from God if you turn your hearts towards the Lord. That's, I think, a key thing for us to experience, for us to be able to seize a hold of that opportunity, the opportunity for salvation to come, the opportunity for us to be prepared to meet God. Seek him. Seek him. Another thing I think we can do, actually I want to just read another verse in Psalm 27, just real quick, you don't have to turn to that. Psalm 27, verse 7 and 8, it says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me when thou saidst, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. That's a heart turned towards God. That's a heart turned towards God. That's a heart that I want. Another point. Seek godly fellowship. Seek godly fellowship. And I think that's just simply the company that we, the friends that we associate with. Surround ourselves. I think it's important for us to surround ourselves with others that also have a passion for God. If I desire to, what things do we like to talk about sometimes? If I want to, maybe I want to, I'll just give you an example. Maybe here, if I want to build a, maybe some for a solar system for my house, or do something like that. You know what I'll do? I will surround myself with others that have interest in solar systems, and I will talk about those things, and we will communicate on that level, and my knowledge will increase on that side, and they will share with me, and I will share with them, and it influences us into thinking, into building that type of thing. For you sisters, I should have an example for you. Boys like gadgets and like things, but you sisters, maybe it is, maybe you enjoy, good cooking, I know. maybe you have a good meal that somebody likes, and guess what? You befriend the person that made that good meal, and you try to learn, and you try to have that fellowship around that, to build that. Those are simple little things. But the same thing is true spiritually. The same thing is true when we love the Lord. When we love God, we will also seek out to have friends and fellowship and communication with those that love God. Right? Those that love God are the ones that we're going to seek fellowship with, because we need that encouragement. And we don't want to let that opportunity slip by. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss it. When God comes, when Jesus comes to take his children home, we don't want to be missing in that time. So how can we seize that opportunity? Number one, repent. Number two, have faith in God. Number three, turn your heart towards God and seek godly fellowship. And there's many, many other things that we can do. But if your heart is towards God, I think this one here, if your heart is towards God, God will bring most of the rest of the things into place for you, for us. I would like to talk a little bit also on what will cause us to miss the opportunity. What are some things that will cause us to miss that opportunity? And I have this actually as point number two. Excuse the arrangement here. What are things? How did I have that? Actually, I have it as what? Sorry. What will cause us to miss the opportunity? What will cause us to miss the opportunity? Okay. And the reason I think this is important, you know, it's something just like that email there. Okay, that was a trivial thing. It was, you know, it's neither here nor there. This one here, you and I, we don't want to miss it. Okay? We don't want to miss it. Children, you don't want to miss it. If we miss it, we've lost it all. We've missed it all. It's not just some betterment that we're missing It's not just something that's going to make us a little bit better. It's life. And if we miss it, it's death. It's that serious. We can't afford to miss it. We can't afford to miss it. To be right with God. I want you to get that, children. You can't afford to not be right with God. You can't afford to miss this opportunity, to miss this privilege that God has given to you. What will cause us to miss the opportunity? I know I've quoted this verse many times. I didn't actually write it down here, but I love that heart cry of God in the Old Testament where he was telling the children of Israel, and he said, he laid out before them life and death, and he said, please choose life. Please choose life. And that's the heart of God this morning. He doesn't want us to miss it. He doesn't want you to miss that opportunity. He doesn't want me to miss it. He wants us to experience the joy of the Lord. He wants us to experience godliness in our life. He wants us to experience the joy of godly fellowship in church. He wants us to experience those things. If we're not experiencing it, let's turn our hearts towards God, who can give us those blessings and can help us in those things. And we always need to grow. What will cause us to miss the opportunity? The first thing I have down is unbelief. Unbelief. It's just simply unbelief. Will bar us from experiencing, will keep us from having, receiving that gift of salvation, really. That opportunity will cause that opportunity to slip by. Romans chapter 11 verse 20 and 21 says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for God spared not the natural branches. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he spare not thee. Also in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 18 and 19, it says, to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but unto them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. And it's easy for us to just think, that's them. That's them. The same thing is true for us. Just like we saw back there in Numbers, where we were reading a little bit earlier. What are we doing with God's promises? What are we doing with the opportunity? I think specifically, or especially, I guess my heart is burdened, especially in light of salvation. Our children. I think of your children especially. That's probably at the core of this message, is just a plea that you hear. That's so easy. The thing that concerns me is we hear so many good messages. We hear so many good things. And for all of us, we hear so many that our minds get dull of hearing sometimes. We forget so easily. We seem to forget so easily. And we let opportunity after opportunity slip by. And it's because some of the reason for it is because of unbelief. Just simply, we don't believe it's for me. We don't believe it works for me. It worked for them, but it doesn't work for me. That's not true. God's word is able to help us, every one of us. Let's not let the opportunity slip by just because of unbelief. Another one is the cares of life. And why is this such an issue? Jesus made this statement, casting all our care upon him for, no, actually, Jesus didn't make that statement. One of the apostles made that statement that we should care, cast our cares upon him for he careth for you. We've got cares. We've got cares. It's something, I don't think cares are all bad. But something about the cares of life, for some reason, Jesus noted that. And if you turn your Bibles to, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. just to get a little bit of a picture of cares. And I think this one touches home for all of us, actually. And it's not just for the ladies either, sisters. Not at all. But even though this is a dear sister that was busy in the house here in this story. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 there, it says, Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha was busy. I think she was doing a good thing. I don't think Jesus was saying you're doing bad. I don't think so. I really don't think so that Jesus was saying you're doing bad. But there was one thing that Mary had done. That thing, Jesus said, is so much more important than all that serving. There's one thing that she was doing that was so much more important than all that serving. We can be so busy with things. And I don't, yeah, like I said, I don't think Jesus was condemning Martha. I don't think so. And yet there's other scriptures in the Beatitudes there, in Matthew 5, it talks about, I'm almost thinking there is a verse in there that talks about, I'm not sure that it was there. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14, and also I know in some of the other gospels it talks about the seed that was spread out. And there was some that grew up and among thorns and it got choked out. And then Jesus explains that to the disciples and says that it's because of, in Luke 8:14 it says, and they that which fell among the thorns are they which have heard. Just like you and I here this morning, we hear, we've got an opportunity. They've had the opportunity. They go forth. In other words, they respond. We do something about it, and they are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and then they have no fruit that comes to perfection. Nothing happens in their life that actually produces godliness or really a changed life. They're choked by the cares. Now, Martha was busy, busy, busy. How many of you are busy? You're busy? Are you busy? We think we're busy. And almost everybody, when I ask them, how's things going? Oh, we're busy. Sure hope it doesn't get any more busy, you know. Almost everybody, you know, but the thing that we say that a lot, but it sometimes concerns me, even for myself. Are we too busy? Are we too busy? I think that could be something that would cause us to be so busy. We have that email in our inbox. We have that thing sitting there. I would like to make sure I get that deal before midnight tonight. I'd like to make sure I get it. But I'm so busy, I can't do it right now. So I get into working whatever I'm doing, whatever all this happens and that happens. And I go and I maybe deal with somebody else's problem at work and whatever, and the day goes by, and for some reason I wake up in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's past midnight. The deal is over. The deal's over. You know, I was so busy. Okay, that didn't necessarily happen for me, not in any of these situations that I'm thinking of, but that's exactly what can happen for us spiritually. We're so busy. We have no bad intent. But God is laying on our heart, you're not alive for me. You're not on fire for me. You're not walking with me like you ought to, like you used to maybe. God is pricking our hearts. God is convicting us of those things. And we're like, yes, Lord, I want to respond to that. I want to do something about it. Lord, I just need to take care of this deal yet. I need to take care of that problem. And even our families. I mean, God wants us to take care of our families, but that's part of the cares. And that's, I think, where we need to cast our cares on the Lord, and He takes care of us. That's where I think we need to unload on the Lord and say, God, how do we? How can we? But I think it's something that we need to take note of, because Jesus warns about it, that there's cares. Even good cares, I think. You're doing good to those around you. But Jesus said of Mary, she has done that thing, that one thing, and I'm not going to take it away from her. I will not take that thing away from her. Mary was in desperation, wanting to make sure she does not let that opportunity that she had slip. She had that desperation. What about our cares? Are we too caught up? Do we have too much to do? Too many things? Sometimes we just need to put some of those things aside and just, maybe we just need to refocus. Cares of life. The last point I have is deceitfulness of riches. Like I said, that's not everything that would take away from that opportunity necessarily. But it's a few that came to my mind, and partly because of the scriptures that I was reading. Jesus specifically mentions that also in Luke, where he talks about the riches that were choking out the word. But I think we could possibly, I want you to stay connected just with this last point yet here. I think we as Anabaptists perhaps are facing this thing more than we realize. I'm just a bit concerned, even for my own self. We have an affluent lifestyle here in America. Life is maybe just a bit too easy. Maybe just a bit too easy. I wouldn't wish for calamity. I wouldn't wish for us to hit poverty. I wouldn't wish for us to whatever. But there's deceitfulness in riches. There's deceitfulness. It will deceive us. It will fog us. It will fog our minds. It will fog our... We won't see that opportunity that God has laid before us because of riches. We won't. That's a warning that we have from the Bible. Just because I'm concerned doesn't matter so much. That's a warning that we have from the Bible. But I am concerned that we can pat ourselves on the back and say, you know, I'm right with God. I don't have any issues with my brother. I don't do all those bad things and so forth. I just would like to enjoy life, and I'd like to make more money, and I'd like to see my bank account grow bigger, and I'd like to just have a relaxed and easy American dream. You know what I'm talking about? Us fathers, maybe that's where, but you young men, those things affect us. Those things, that mentality can affect us. You know, you young men actually might face that in some ways worse, but us as fathers, the same way. You know, for you young men, it might be the temptation because you don't have the outflow. You don't have the expenses that dad and mom have. You can kind of just, you know, it just comes in. It just comes in. And soon you can look at the pile that you have, the deceitfulness of riches. Remember that, the deceitfulness of riches. What do we do? How can we? Lord, help us through these things. I don't think we have to just, for some of us, maybe it means selling everything and everything that we have and giving to the poor if our heart is wrapped on us, but around those things. But I don't necessarily think that that's what God is commanding all of us to do. But I do believe that he is warning us, warn them that are rich. In James, I didn't even write that verse down. But in 1 Timothy 6, it says, 1 Timothy 6:9-10, it says, but they that are rich fall into temptation. You know, why would we want to fall into temptation? Why would I want to have an opportunity? Why would I do something that would cause me to miss that opportunity that God has given to me? Why would I want to do that? I would just encourage us in a very practical way. What God has blessed us with, we ought to do like the Apostle Paul, I believe it was, that made the statement that we should have it with an, I'm not sure that I'm quoting it right, but having it has the idea of having it as though we haven't not. Having it with an open hand is what I think of often. Having what you have, what I have, with an open hand. If God decides to take those things away, bless the Lord. If God puts some brother in, some need in my life that I need to dig into my savings, am I willing to do that to help my brother? Or do I protect that? Do I just want to hoard that? Do I not want to care for another? And I think those are some simple ways that we can apply this to our life to help us not be so attached. Is freely give. You have received, freely give. You know, if God, don't hang on to those things for dear life. It will destroy us. And if we have that mindset, realizing that it's a temptation and a snare, and it ends up causing us to fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts, like it says there in Timothy, which drown men in destruction. That's losing, that's missing that opportunity. It's drowning us. It will. And perdition, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after have erred from the faith. Also in Mark 4, verse 19 says, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and that's in the setting of that sower that went forth to sow again. Jesus uses the deceitfulness of riches in that as a phrase or a comment that he makes there. Today, we have another opportunity. Right now, we have another opportunity. We don't know about Monday. We don't know about Monday. Like I said, about 3 years ago, two young men didn't know that. They didn't know that. I didn't know that. We were sitting under the sound of the word. One day, the next day, they were gone. No, it wasn't sickness. It wasn't anything like that. It was an accident, just a simple accident on the road. Took their life. That can happen to any one of us. Another opportunity. What are we doing with it? We have another opportunity. Maybe it is to make peace with someone. We have another opportunity. Let's do it. Let's respond. What can we do to grab a hold of that? We can repent. We can have faith in God. We can turn our heart towards God. We can seek godly fellowship. What are things that cause us to miss that opportunity? It's unbelief. Not having faith in God. Cares of life. just simply being busy, even good things, just too much. We need to lay some things down. Deceitfulness of riches. May God help us. God bless you.